May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Our first reading is from Psalm 77, verses 1, 2, and 11 through 20. I cry aloud to God, aloud that God may hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out continually. My soul refuses to be comforted. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You manifested your might among the peoples. You redeemed with your arm your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. The very deeps trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings illumined the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading is from Paul's letter to the Galatians in chapter 5. As he speaks, he begins and ends with an invitation to life. In the middle, he gives direction. Sometimes when I'm reading Paul in the New Testament, I feel a little bit like I do when I watch a movie I loved earlier in my life. There are moments that make me cringe, because we don't talk like that anymore. It's not the ways we refer to people or what we talk about or how. As we're reading Paul's letters, we're doing a much greater time leap back something like 2,000 years. As you listen, there are words here that I suspect might be jarring. His invitation to be slaves to one another, for example, or his long list of the obvious problematic works of the flesh. Still, I invite you to listen for the word of God as I share these words Paul wrote so many years ago. I invite you to listen for the word of God. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh, for what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to join me in prayer. O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Today is a special day for me. June 26th is the 18th anniversary of my marriage to Matt Parker, and every year we get to celebrate. For the last 7 years, it's also the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision that legalized same-sex marriage here in our country. And Matt and I think that marriage equality is a fantastic 11th anniversary present. And we enjoy getting to celebrate this day. It's a day that helps me remember and reflect on how the commitments of marriage have shaped me as a person. How doing love in community, whether in the bonds of marriage or in our families or in church communities, with our neighborhoods around the world, the work of doing love in community reshapes us. And certainly I hear in our scriptures today, particularly in Paul's letter to the Galatians, an invitation to live our faith in community in a way that reshapes us, that gives us occasion to practice ways of living that help grow in us the fruits of the Spirit. Paul called them the fruits of the Spirit. I learned them at church camp in a song, perhaps you did also, so that they're easy for me to list in quick succession: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is a wondrous basket of delicious fruits, of a sweet way of living that indeed feels like goodness. As I read them this morning, as I've studied them this week, I think of what gift they can be. But I also think of how the church can sometimes use and abuse a list like this, setting it in a context not for liberation, but for control, which I think is exactly what Paul was meaning to speak into as he wrote this letter to the Galatians. There, the early church seems to have been struggling with differences of interpretation about how adherence to the law that had been inherited through the Jewish religion that belonged to the earliest Christians, how to belong to that law in the now expanding and diverse world of the early church. As Paul is writing to the community, it's clear that there are specific problems they're struggling with. He mentions circumcision and righteous practices of eating that belonged in the Jewish tradition, inviting the church of the Galatians not to an adherence of the law as the pathway to liberation,
but to belong in the Spirit. So often we in churches get fixated on long lists of laws, of regulations, of particular interpretations that become visible habits by which we know that we belong to God, or that we're righteous, or we've done enough. I think it's exactly against this that Paul is writing this list. It's not about your measuring yourself up to an external list of the things required to belong in the family of faith. Instead, Paul invites the community of the early church and we who read it 2,000 years later, invites us to belong in a different way of being that's not about measuring our individual righteousness against a list of sins, but claiming a different orientation to one another. The passage that I read today begins with a reminder that the message of good news, that our gospel is freedom, it's liberation, and it's life. And that freedom, that liberation, that life come to us not as isolated individuals trapped in our own perspectives and self-interest, but as interdependent community. Paul says we're no longer slaves to the law. Instead, he invites us to be slaves to one another. The Greek word here translated as slaves, doulos, also gives us the English word doula, which is for me a much more full of life and generous image of what it looks like to be people of mutual service, to be participants with one another in the struggles of life. A doula is the one who accompanies a mother giving birth, helping support and care and tend in a way that will lead to life. If we're to be servants of one another, slaves or doulas, caregivers who invest ourselves in the well-being of one another, we're invited to a very special kind of living. Unfortunately, we in the church and we in the predominantly white U.S. American Christian church have a lot to reckon with because of ways we use these texts to justify the privileging and prioritizing of some people over and against others, even using scripture to justify the evil institution of slavery. So as we read these words here translated into English as slave, we cannot do so ignorant of our own history. And of the ease with which one can interpret this text as justification for demanding the subjugation, the obedience, and the compliance of others, twisting Paul's fruits of the Spirit into an idealized form of faithfulness that looks like quiet, gentle submission. I don't think that's what Paul was talking about at all. I love that this text from Galatians is set next to these verses from the Psalms. When I read them a couple of weeks ago, preparing for this Sunday, I wasn't sure what the connection was. But as I read them this week, particularly after Friday's Supreme Court decision, I found myself grateful for a psalm that invites us to speak and own the sorrows and struggles of our life. Grateful to belong in a scripture and liturgical tradition that does not require us to come only with tidy emotions or happy smiles in order to approach God. Here, the psalm gives voice to the struggles of our hearts, our communities, and our shared life. And as we sing it together, as we hear the words, as Taylor spoke them into this space, we think of the shared grief we all carry for so many things, for losses we have experienced, for justice that has been denied, for the struggles we continue to face in each moment. Last night, to celebrate our anniversary, my husband and I went to see Brandi Carlile in concert at the Greek Theater. She closed her concert with a song from her most recent album that functioned as a benediction, sending us off into the night. The song is an invitation to be people who stay tender. And as she sang it, I heard in my mind Paul's Fruits of the Spirit. The song is called Stay Gentle, and it begins like this. Stay gentle, keep the eyes of a child. Don't harden your heart or your hands. Know to find joy in the darkness is wise, although they will think you don't understand. Her song was an invitation to be people who stay tender with ourselves and with one another, whose freedom is visible in a confident love that is visible as a kind of gentleness and peace and joy, not because everything has worked out, but because here in the midst of the struggle, we know that we already belong in a God whose love cannot be withheld. A divine love that nothing can stop, that comes to us unconditionally, that we can never count ourselves out of. And that in that divine love, we're drawn toward a liberation that's not ours alone as individuals, but a shared liberation of the whole of the community that's deeper and truer and more real than any attempt to control or subjugate or oppress or deny voice. Paul's words invite us not to become hardened opponents of evil, but to become tender, even joyous, patient, peaceful, persistent laborers for the things that matter, because we know that they're true here and now, and they are coming to be true among us. We are invited to share in the gifts of the gospel, knowing that it means life, that it is liberation for us, for our neighbors, for those who've been dispossessed of power and oppressed by systems, and for the whole of creation. I've been reading Katie Zay's new book, A Complicated Choice. She is the leader of an organization called the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. We in the United Methodist Church have long held in our social principles an appreciation for the complexities of decisions about reproductive health and about access to abortion that make it difficult to choose to be. Katie, in her book, uses the line from John's gospel that promises Jesus comes that we would have abundant life as a lens through which to interpret and navigate it, the complexities of making choices for reproductive health in our own lives. And I should say that these issues are not abstractions or issues. They're stories that are knit into the fabric of our community. Because here among us in our community are women who have chosen abortion or required it. Are physicians and healthcare workers who walk alongside people making complicated decisions for their health. Here among us are parents and those who've wanted to be parents. Here among us are so many navigating the complexities of life. In Katie's book, as she reads John 10:10, as a way of accessing the complexity of this moment, she writes this: "We, meaning we humans, we are created for more than mere survival. Abundant life is joy-filled and fear-free, full of opportunity and hope. And it is just as much about the well-being of our communities as it is about the state of our individual lives. The two are intertwined." in this moment of national conversation, when the Supreme Court has made a ruling that removed any kind of national standard for access to reproductive justice, and people who can be pregnant in many states face more limited decisions, we're invited to be people who stand up for the sake of life, who stand up for a fullness of life, who demand we push further and deeper into our understanding of who we are as humans and who we are together, and to labor for a world that not only respects but honors the dignity and worth, the authority, the choice, and the consent of everyone who belongs in our community. The belonging together that happens in the body of Christ, the participation together in a love that cannot be isolated to individuals but is always shared, all of this is an invitation to sharing in that liberation that I believe Paul was pointing us to as he wrote to the Galatians. Our passage today began with an affirmation of freedom. It ended with an invitation to let ourselves be guided by the Spirit. And this invitation is one that sits at the core of my understanding of what it means to be a follower of Christ. We are invited to let ourselves be drawn forward by the Spirit, which is divine love, which is hope that overcomes every despair, which is life over even death, that invites us to taste and know here on earth the sweetness and goodness of abundant life, and to live in ways that open it to others and allow us to experience it ourselves, not in isolation, but as a community together. We are invited to be guided by the Spirit, guided by assurance of goodness, tasting as if a delicious piece of summer fruit, the goodness of life in Christ. We're invited to know here on earth the part that we have to play in drawing our communities and our world closer to the kingdom of God. May we be a part of that work today and always. Amen.